Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A unique story about a very special young man, Sho Yano. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is February 7th, 2013. Thanks for joining us. We've got a three-day people article that you can find on pages 16, 17, and 18 in your Advanced magazine. And it's quite a unique person that we're looking at, not a famous movie star, not a musician or a celebrity that you might be aware of, but a very, very special young man, very talented in the medical field. But it's not just his talents in the medical field. It's just his overall genius that we're going to be looking into and the blessings and the curses that come along with that. It's a gift, but it's, at the same time, it can be a burden for some people. Not everybody handles it well, but Sho Yano, the young man, seems to be handling it very well so far. Joining me here in the studio, I have two panelists. First off to my left is another genius, Naomi Beeshavel. Hi.
Thanks for the compliment, Bill, but I promise you I am not a genius. Yeah. I think the idea of being a genius, it sounds really good, but I think it's important to remember that anytime you're different from your peers, it can give you a lot of pressure, a lot of maybe unrealistic expectations or maybe just different challenges that you might face. And I think that today's person that we're focusing on is a good example of someone who really tried to meet those challenges in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a good way. That's a very good point. Also here in the studio, well, his friends might not call him a genius, but he is extremely handsome. Campbell Chong. Hi, Campbell.
Well, thank you again.
I think.
I'll take the second half of that compliment.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I've got the smarts, he's got the beauty.
Oh. Yeah, oh, yeah. I got the beauty and the brains, and here it's just, well, anyway. So.
Well, I hear what you're saying about, you know, the genius factor. Mm. I think I've always wanted to be a genius. Unfortunately, I didn't have those genes. And now that I have a kid of my own, you know, I do wonder, you know, I'm like, you know, what's so special about her? What is she going to do when she gets older? And is she going to be one of these genius kids that shine?
Yeah. You mentioned being a father. It's interesting, you know, I'm thinking about this article and then you being a father, because up until that point, our focus, everybody, is on ourself.
Right.
Up until that point. And it's all about me and how do I strive forward, reach my goals, accomplish what I had dreamed about, and then all of a sudden it all changes. You got married, but there still was just – there was you and Linda, but then the baby comes along and it just all switches from
you to
them.
Yeah, and then it's about her fulfilling my unfulfilled dreams. So it's about, you know, making sure that she gets all the lessons and that she, you know, learns to be a star.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do think we will touch on this a little bit in the article, what can parents do to, you know, encourage their children and help them shine as much as possible in their own ways, though.
Right.
And I do think often when we have a people article, there's something about the person we're featuring that a lot of us might aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
We might see their abilities or their talents or their accomplishments and think, wow, I want to be more like them.
Yeah.
But for this article, I don't know if we can really do that, because it's not realistic to say that everyone has this potential. Some people are just blessed with different gifts than others.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it, Naomi, blessed with different gifts. So, well, let's get into our reading for today. We'll break today's reading up into three sections. So we'll have the first couple of paragraphs in the left column on page 16.
Sho Yano, a humble genius, becomes a doctor at age 21. Sho Yano has been a college student for 12 years, but it's only recently that he looks as if he belongs. This week, On June 8, 2012, the 21-year-old will complete the journey he began as a 9-year-old college freshman, becoming the youngest student in the University of Chicago's history to receive an MD. Yano was reading at age 2, writing by 3, and composing music by his 5th birthday. He graduated from Loyola University in 3 years, summa cum laude, no less. When he entered U of C's prestigious Pritzker School of Medicine at 12, it was into one of the school's most rigorous programs.
A humble genius becomes a doctor at age 21. So we say humble, Naomi.
Yes, a humble genius. Now, I think if I were a genius, I would probably like to brag about it. Maybe that's why I'm not one. Because God knew. I'm not sure it would be easy for me to have a humble attitude if I were blessed with this kind of intelligence. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like they're saying that Shoyano really does not consider himself to be better than other people, even though he does have above average intelligence.
Yeah. And you'll find that out as we go through this article. Some of the things he says about his talents and abilities and his gifts and everything, it's very clear he has a great level of humility about all of it. So how do we start there, Campbell?
Well, we find out that Shoyano has been a college student for 12 years, but it's only recently that he looks as if he belongs. And we find out the reason for that is because he started college when he was 9 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah, 9 years old. So, and we get into that in that next sentence.
Right. So, of course, this article was originally published last summer. So at that time, they were saying this week he will complete the journey. Of course, this happened last June. But the 21-year-old will complete the journey he began as a 9-year-old college freshman. Wow. Okay. Becoming the youngest student in the University of Chicago's history to receive an MD.
Yeah. So that ties in with that first sentence, looks as if he belongs. Certainly, if you saw a 9-year-old walking around a college campus, then you would think, well, this must be maybe some professor's child.
Yeah. Right.
You wouldn't think this is one of your fellow students, would you?
Right. No, definitely not.
So he didn't look like he belonged back then when he was a 9-year-old college freshman. So, but now we fast forward there to 2012, and he is becoming the youngest student. Where is it?
At the University of Chicago. So he received an MD, which is a medical degree, at the University of Chicago last June.
And this is not just any old university. The University of Chicago is actually ranked as one of the top 10 schools in the United States. So it is one of the top universities up there with the Ivy League schools and the Stanfords.
Right. And if you look at the pictures on pages 16 and 17, you can see sort of his progression through his college years. There he is as a kid still. And then you can see him as a teenager doing his research in the lab. And then in the middle, we see a picture of him now actually working with patients.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can see the difference. If anything, I noticed the hair. What's going on with the hair? Got that hair thing going. He needs to get that hair fixed.
He might be trying to look older.
Yeah, yeah. Or younger.
Yeah.
But the glasses are always there.
Yeah, the glasses are there. Yeah. Okay, now we learn a little bit about the way back in the early beginning.
Right, because immediately all of us are going, whoa, how could I have done this? How could my child do this someday? Is this possible? Everyone wants to be a doctor by the time they're 21, right? Well, we find out that, yeah, Yano is a special case. He was reading at age 2, which already is very remarkable, and writing by age 3.
Okay. Wow. And then?
And then he was composing music by his 5th birthday. Now, as a 30-something-year-old, I'm still not composing music. So that is quite an accomplishment for a 5-year-old.
Well, it brings Mozart to mind.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. When he was a little kid, he was already composing and performing music at a very, very professional level. And it was very remarkable back then as well. And he was a child genius. Mm-hmm. And so we see a similar thing going on with Shoyano. But instead of becoming a famous musician, which is probably what I would have done if I were his mother. They went in another direction.
Yeah, okay. Well, they did go in a different direction, and it all started when he was 9, and we see that then we skip from age 5 to, a few years later when he graduated from Loyola University in 3 years. And Loyola is actually also located in Chicago. That's called Loyola of Chicago University. And he did pretty well there, didn't he, Naomi?
He did. He graduated. So he got his first college degree when he was about 12. And he got it summa cum laude, which means that it was with the highest honor possible. Mm-hmm. That means he got really, really good grades and probably took some additional classes, possibly some more difficult coursework as well.
Yeah, we'll find out later that he actually had a 3.9 GPA. Now, 4.0 GPA is the perfect. Is the highest GPA you can get. So 3.9 is super high.
I actually had looked into a couple of the things about his background. I believe he majored in biology and chemistry at Loyola. That's what he had a dual major in biology and chemistry.
Wow.
My goodness.
At 12 years old, I was learning I don't know what I was learning. Definitely not that.
I can't remember. How to spell?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. All right. So, and then we see after that, summa cum laude, no less, comma, no less. What's that little no less thing?
It's saying as if that weren't enough, that he was already graduating at such a young age, he did it with the highest honor on top of that.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a little exclamation point, no less. So now then we move on to his next assignment.
Right. Then he entered U of C's prestigious Pritzker School of Medicine at age 12. Now, U of C, again, is the University of Chicago, and here we're talking about their medical school, the Pritzker School of Medicine, and he started studying there when he was 12.
And it was one of the school's most rigorous programs.
Right. We see two fun words that both end in O-U-S in this sentence. First of all, prestigious means that it's very well regarded. Everyone agrees that this is an excellent school. And if you say the name, people will go, ooh. Okay. So, and then rigorous means that it's very involved, very difficult academically. You're going to work very hard and very thoroughly, very completely to get that degree.
A lot of hours, a lot of long nights and weekends just spent hitting the books. Mm. Okay. Let's get into our next reading.
Being gifted isn't easy. Despite his gifts, success was not guaranteed. On a college campus, he was a natural target for wisecracks. By all accounts now, though, Pritzker's decision to admit Yano has been a success. Yano hopes his graduation at last silences the naysayers who predicted he'd be stunted socially and emotionally for daring to tackle such an accelerated track. I never understood that, Yano said. Why would being allowed to challenge yourself be considered more damaging than being totally bored?
Well, it's easy to be envious of somebody like Sho Yano and have this tremendous intelligence. However, there are some challenges with it, right?
Definitely. And we are introduced to some of the challenges in this section. Despite his gifts, success was not guaranteed. So that's a good place to start. Just because someone has the ability to do something, it doesn't mean that they'll do it successfully.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important in a case like this that there be proper handling. In essence, parents, the parental guidance initially. And then along the way, you need proper handling by teachers and counselors and other people who are experts in fields. So you can have a gifted person, but if they don't have the right coaching.
Well, you know. Sure, but it also comes down to him himself. I mean, if he has this ability to pursue these goals, but he's not interested, well, then he's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So despite these gifts, success not guaranteed. And we see there something that he had to deal with, again, we say maybe not fitting in.
Well, yeah. I mean, on a college campus, he was a natural target for wisecracks. Now, wisecracks are just remarks or words that people say to make fun of someone or criticize them in a way to just kind of put them down in a way. And naturally, I mean, because as a 9-year-old, you see this little kid in your college class, you feel like, okay, he sticks out. So naturally, people are going to point him out and maybe make comments.
Right. And it doesn't sound like they were bullying him exactly. Mm. I mean, I would be quite shocked if people at a college level were really being rough on him. But that kind of humor where you're making fun of someone else can be quite damaging, and it's something you have to be very careful about. And so for this kid wandering around this campus, of course people are going to make jokes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it would be hard for him to take that and not take it too personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's a big difference. In some ways, he's fortunate he was at a school like the University of Chicago at college, because I'm thinking the bullying and the wisecracks are far worse in high school and junior high school. By the time people reach college, most people have moved beyond that. Mm-hmm. Usually it's kind of good-natured joking at college level. You know,
right.
Hey, shorty. Hey, four eyes. Yeah. That's about the extent of it.
Yeah, and the problem is that most people, once they get to college, can handle that kind of humor. They've learned how to deal with it. And if someone made a joke at my expense, I would think it was funny, too, because I'm a grown-up now. But if this kid is 13 years old, then he's maybe not ready emotionally for that kind of humor.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, but we see in the next paragraph, Campbell.
Yeah, it says, by all accounts now, though, Pritzker's decision to admit Yano has been a success. Now, by all accounts just means that looking at the whole situation, looking at everything that's happened, we see that, you know, it was a good decision to allow him to study at the school at such a young age.
Okay. And it's interesting here, this next sentence, that he wants to kind of make a statement.
Yeah, he hopes his graduation does something special for him and all these people who have been talking about whether he will be successful or not. He wants it to silence the naysayers. So if you silence someone, it means you prevent them from talking. The naysayers are people who deny something, they're against something, they speak out in a negative way about something. So it sounds like a lot of people, when they heard about this remarkable kid, said, "You're letting him go to college. He's not ready for that. Yeah. What are you thinking? It's going to hurt him." And I think their concerns are valid.
Right.
You know, it is a worrying thing to put a kid in a situation they might not be ready for.
Right. I mean, like you said earlier, you don't know. I mean, he's a 9-year-old handling college type studies and college type people, and it might be hard for him.
Right.
Yeah, naysayers in this case aren't people that necessarily want to hurt him. They have legitimate concerns, and they might be saying may not work. And actually, some of the reasons we see why the naysayers thought it might not work.
Right. We see that these naysayers predicted that he'd be stunted socially and emotionally for daring to tackle such an accelerated track. Now, stunted here just means that you slow or prevent or delay the growth of something. So here we're talking about his social skills, his ability to handle his emotions and things like that.
Okay. And they thought that might happen because he was daring to tackle.
To tackle, so to grab hold of and to attempt to do it. And what he was trying to tackle, of course, was this accelerated track. So we often talk about academic tracks. It's maybe the classes that you take, the direction that you're studying, the topics and so on, sort of the route that you're going along. Mm-hmm. If it's accelerated, it means that you're going a little faster than most people.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has a fairly profound response to all of that in the next paragraph.
Yeah, he said he never understood why people were so concerned. He said, "Why would being allowed to challenge yourself be considered more damaging than being totally bored?" So I guess the idea here is that he was bored with the regular track, the regular things that kids his age might be studying. It was too easy for him. He wanted a challenge.
Yeah. In fact, this sentence actually ties in with our final article of the month. We talk about gifted children. And one of the main points of that article, listeners, is that how do you deal with students who are gifted and get bored in classes? And so we actually talk about that at length at the end of this month. And Shao Yano has a great point here. What was I going to do? I was bored to death.
Right.
You know, and I would be bored to death in a regular class. All right, everybody, let's have our final reading for today.
More than one passion. Intelligence is not Yano's only gift, though his IQ is too high to accurately measure and is easily above genius level. Medicine is not his only passion either. He is an accomplished pianist, and he has a black belt in Taekwondo. But he'd much rather talk about his upcoming residency in pediatric neurology. He became enamored with the field while at La Rabida Children's Hospital in Chicago, caring for patients with cerebral palsy and other ailments. I really liked not just taking care of kids, but the way the whole team worked together. The idea that you can do a lot for these patients, even if you can't cure them.
Well, we're talking about Sho Yano and his academic gifts, but there are more things that he's interested in here, right?
He is multifaceted. He has more than one side to his personality and what he's good at. Intelligence is not his only gift, though his IQ is too high to accurately measure and is easily above genius level. I love that. I think, first of all, IQ tests are something that we have to take in stride, mm-hmm. not put too much emphasis on IQ scores because they don't mean everything. But that being said, it is a measure of genius. For him, they can't actually measure it correctly because he's just too smart.
I'll refer to the article again, end of the month, about gifted children. In that article, it states that an IQ between 131 and 145 is considered like a genius type of range. And some of the people we talk about in that article are in the 150, 160 range.
Right.
It's been estimated Sho Yano's IQ is around 200.
Right.
Yeah. So, and it's actually too high to accurately measure, as
yeah.
this says.
It's sort of like if you have a measuring tape or like one of those height charts,
yeah.
you know, and someone's way taller than the chart and you go, well, I know they're above this number, but I'm
he's
not
tall.
Really sure.
He's real tall.
Really tall. So Sho Yano yeah. is just really smart.
All right. So he's really smart, but as we see in line 13, medicine is not his only passion either.
Right. He's multidimensional. He is an accomplished, which means a skilled pianist. And he has a black belt, which is the highest level that you can achieve in Taekwondo.
Okay. That's great. I'm glad to see that he's got like an exercise and activity for him to, you know, burn off some of that energy.
Right. Both music and exercise are
yeah.
great ways for, especially I think, younger people who aren't always so emotionally intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them to kind of channel some of their feelings and emotions. And so I'm glad that he's into these things as well. I'm sure it's a very healthy thing for him.
Yeah. Good. Now, on page 17 there at the top of the left column, we see there that he'd much rather talk about something else.
Yeah, he'd rather talk about his upcoming residency in pediatric neurology. So we see a lot of great words in that sentence. Upcoming means that it's coming up. It's in the near future. A residency is just a time that a doctor spends in the hospital where he gets some practical experience in a certain field. And here the field that Sho is studying is pediatric neurology. Now, the word pediatric refers to any kind of medicine involving kids and children and babies. And neurology here is the study of the structure and diseases involving the nervous system and the brain.
Okay.
Pretty intense. If you're working with anyone's brain, it's already very, very – it requires an incredible amount of skill.
Right.
But when you're talking about a brain that is still growing, it's
yeah.
that much more intense.
Yeah.
And so I think it's pretty incredible that this is his specialty. It's
and
quite daring, actually.
How did it become his specialty?
Well, he became enamored with this field while at La Rabida Children's Hospital in Chicago. Now, the word enamored here just means that he started liking it a lot. He got really interested in this field.
Okay. And while he was there at La Rabida Children's Hospital in Chicago, what was he doing?
He was caring for patients with cerebral palsy and other ailments. Now, cerebral palsy is a physical condition that involves tightening of the muscles, and it's caused by damage to the brain, usually during birth or maybe before that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's interesting that a lot of the kids that gave him this motivation to pursue this field, their IQs are probably not anywhere close to his. Mm-hmm. But I think that the fact that he really loved working with these kids and his heart really went out to them and he mm-hmm. connected with them too, it shows us again that brains are not everything, you know, right. that our human connection is much more important.
Yeah, his heart was involved in this. In fact, that last paragraph we hear from him.
Yeah, he says, "I really liked not just taking care of the kids, but the way the whole team worked together and the idea that you can do a lot for these patients even if you can't cure them." See, the idea with cerebral palsy is that the damage has already occurred. It happened either before birth or during the birth process. So there's nothing they can do to fix the brain. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times this disease is not curable, but there are things that they can do to treat it to help them be able to function more normally.
Yeah, yeah. How do we make their life better? It's only going to be so good, but how do we get them to that point and make it better?
Right, and I think this shows humility on his part once again, but also compassion. It's clear that he cares about people and he wants to use his gifts to improve the quality of life for others. And mm-hmm. I think that's really exciting.
Yeah. Actually, my daughter was born with some brain damage. So they had talked a little bit about cerebral palsy. So reading this paragraph, it really touched me, you know, to think that there are people out there who really care about kids.
Well, he's talked about the whole team working together here, Campbell. And were you able to see that when dealing with Alicia?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, recently we had to deal with a pediatric neurologist. So he was looking at her brain. And it's just an amazing process to see how they test and how they, you know, examine her and learn about the way her brain works. And since it's such a unique thing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And it's a slow process. Yeah. It's just something you have to nurture over time. So there is, it's not like you can prescribe some pills and say, oh, this is going to be fixed by next week.
Yes.
It's a gradual process. All right. Well, listeners, thanks for joining us here today for our first day of this People article about Sho Yano. Come on back for tomorrow. Till then, this is Bill,
Naomi,
and Campbell
saying goodbye.
Take care.